bum 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 Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Tinkering with X, Y, and Z. I'm your host Aru and I'm joined with
Shailendra.
Yes, so how are you doing? How's your week been this so far?
This week has been great. This also happens to be the week of Teachers' Day.
Yes, happy Teachers' Day.
Thank you very much. Happy Teachers' Day to you as well. You have been teaching us a lot of lessons, I guess.
Yeah, but this day is for you, more specifically.
Yeah, I would say that it is for all kind of teachers. I mean, teachers come in all shapes and sizes and forms. So this is for all the teachers that we have had in life.
Yeah, so happy Teachers' Day to everyone out there, I think.
Yes.
Everyone is a teacher in their own way.
Correct.
Yeah. That's nice. But now let's come to the topic, that the news that we have picked.
What's the big news then? What is the big news?
The big news is that a month back, Sabyasachi and H&M had a collaboration called Wanderlust.
Okay.
Which was Sabyasachi trying to get the Indian art designs into the world, because H&M is a big brand, right? It's a big hit in the clothing industry, and he kind of was an unexpected reaction he got from the artisans, in fact, because they felt like they were not being recognized for it. I think you heard this news.
Yes.
I think most of us had. And the collection was sold in minutes.
Yeah, of course, it's Sabyasachi. So.
It is Sabyasachi, and it was sold in minutes. And people had like, wow, okay, we're getting India into the world. There's like, we're getting, they might appreciate it more. But artisans thought that they were not being recognized for it because they didn't make it. It was not made by local artisans, and they were taking their designs.
And on Teachers' Day, in fact, Sabyasachi should have thanked those artisans, because I guess they were his first teachers. They are the ones who taught him what Indian design and what Indian, let's say, art is in that sense. And I think he uses a lot of those motifs and a lot of those patterns in his work as well. So,
Sabyasachi is known for, like, his stand is on Indian local crafts, right? And that was kind of a hit for the artisans. And
he owes a lot of to Indian artists, and it would have been great had he also incorporated them into this whole plan of Wanderlust, whatever you want to call it.
Also the idea of fast fashion, right? H&M is all about fast fashion. And people during this time especially are against it, that they say that we should not have fast fashion. We should fast fashion is basically trends coming in
very
fast, and the clothes that are already made are not sold anymore. They're just discarded, which causes a lot of waste and pollution, which is leading to global warming and a lot of environment problems.
I think fast, and this I can talk from a running point of view as well. Fast is usually not sustainable as well.
Yes.
Fast takes up more energy than required without any clear desirable results as an output in that sense. Fast fashion, I would say, is fueled by social media, definitely, that everybody wants to be on the latest trend. And it creates a sort of pressure on both the designers as well as manufacturers and retailers to be doing something new every season, or twice a season, I guess, twice in a season. And if you don't get it right, you would definitely have what we call as an unsold inventory, which is going to lead to pile up of clothes which nobody wants, and then you'll have to either do a sale or a discount on that, or just throw them off in case you want to preserve your brand. So fast and fashion, I think we need to think about it as to what is the purpose, as to what is the purpose of clothes in that sense. Why do we want clothes, and what function do clothes serve?
That it's very interesting you ask that question, because we have a friend of Tinker coming in who is exactly here to answer that question for us, and you will be hearing from us soon. So let's go right into that segment. Okay, so we are joined by our guest, our friend of Tinker, Kamna. Thank you for being here. So you are a sustainable enthusiast. So I came across her through him, and he suggested to follow you on Instagram, and I have been since then, and I really like your posts about sustainability, menstrual health, nutrition a lot. So could you expand on that more and what you do?
My name is Kamna, and I'm a nutritionist and also a lactation consultant. I started my social media journey 5 years back when I had delivered my second child, and I wanted to share everything what I felt and experienced during the motherhood. And slowly and steadily, I started also learning about sustainability. My kids were the people asked me like, what, you know, what drives you to learn more about it and practice as well. And for me, it was a very selfish reason. I tell them like, I'm very selfish because I want a better world for my kids. Just because I've brought them, so I feel like it's my personal responsibility to, you know, leave a world in a better, make a world a better place for them to live. Because you hear news about, you know, air getting polluted, water getting polluted, the food is already exploited. So there are so many things needs to be tackled down, and I feel like, and I worry for my kids' health. And instead of blaming the government, I thought that, you know, rather than, you know, just pinpointing everybody who's doing what, you know, I should rather first focus on myself and, you know, and bring change in my life. And that's it. Yeah. So slowly and steadily, I started my sustainable journey, and it's still going on. I'm still learning about it every day.
Yeah. So we just discussed about the Sabyasachi and H&M. So what is your reaction? I saw you kind of posted about it as well.
And so it was not at all shocking, because of course Sabyasachi is a businessman, he needs to earn money.
Yeah.
But it was also weird that, you know, Sabyasachi being a Sabyasachi icon, like everybody just looks upon him, right? Yes. Like in the fashion industry, and everybody wants to have that one Sabyasachi piece in their wardrobe. I mean, I felt like he really needed the H&M brand to, you know, take the Indian crafts globally.
Yes.
So that was my main concern. Like, you don't really need to, you know, join a fast fashion hand to take the Indian crafts globally. And the questions were also, you know, it was a little problematic, especially the collection, because the collection was made of polyester. It was not cotton. The prints were all power loom, like it was not, you know, hand loom or hand block.
Yeah.
So that is the real craft of our country, right? Yes. The hand woven, hand block prints.
Yeah.
But they were just being machine made. So I really not understand, like, you know, how you are promoting the craft and the culture of your country via textile, which is just being made in the factory, just like every other garment.
Yes.
So these are the problematic questions. And again, H&M being the mass produced, you know, how much are they paying? Did the garment workers who made those Sabyasachi collection being paid ethically? So that was also a question. So we don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
He may have written, you know, in the open letter that it was from the business point of view, but there are still so many questions, you know, which are problematic and which needs to be answered. Which of course they will not.
Yeah.
Right. Because we are, as a consumer, we always look at the end product, what people buy, which the collection which got sold out within like 2 minutes.
Yes.
They just saw the product, but they didn't see what was in the life cycle of that.
What went behind it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But that's the nature of, I would say, fast fashion in that sense. And this is upon manufacturers as well as designers to think about.
Right.
In terms of, is it fair to all the stakeholders in that particular ecosystem? So, as of now, it seems to be driven by retailers and manufacturers,
right?
And designers, of course, get a part of it. But people really at the background, people who manufacture them, I think we've got examples.
It starts from the farmers itself who are growing the cotton.
Yes, growing the cotton as well.
Yes.
But the nature of fast fashion wouldn't make it possible to bring it down to the level where you could have hand woven or handcrafted.
Right. And I think that's what the problem is, because, you know, people always say that, you know, we're not able to afford a sustainable fashion brand because they are very expensive. And that's the thing that the whole fast fashion is doing, that they're making you think that the clothes can be available cheaper, at a cheaper rate. And that way we don't value the human labor, the human dignity, right? And that is becoming problematic. If we start paying the fair prices to everybody around us, even in, you know, like to our domestic employees as well, you know, it will understand how much their true labor is. And people will understand the value of sustainable brand. And again, the second problem is the consumption. If you are buying 10 pieces worth 10,000 pieces, that will be problematic. So if you're buying only few pieces, which is from a sustainable brand, it is still far more sustainable. The problem is the consumption. The problem is that we are just buying clothes every month. Nowadays, there are so many brands that are coming up and so many sales coming up. And I mean, there is no limit. There's no end to buying. And that is becoming problematic, in especially in the fashion industry.
Coming to that, my next question was around people calling sustainable living to be expensive, that they cannot afford it. So you live sustainably. What do you have to say about that?
That's what, like, we discussed before, like, we have been living sustainably. Sustainability doesn't mean that, you know, you just have to reduce plastic. It is like it's like an umbrella term. There's so many nuances in it, like, you know, you can bring daily change in your life easily. For example, taking a, you know, cloth bag doesn't cost much, or taking your own bottle doesn't cost much. So these are the small changes you're talking about, and doesn't cost a lot. And same with the fashion as well. So like we discussed, like, you know, the secondhand shops, there are there, you can buy secondhand clothes or secondhand things, even for my kids as well, like everything, like right from their clothes to toys to the things that you need for you know, when they are small, like, you know, a booster chair where they eat food, or anything that is related to the kids that you need in the early days. I have always bought it from OLX. Like, majority of them are secondhand. You know, if we can just bring it in our daily lives, it'll help in reducing the carbon emission a lot.
I was sharing earlier that I wrote about it in my newsletter as well, when I was writing about platforms and fashion, and I said, oh, you might have problems with borrowed clothes, but you're actually borrowing them from future.
Yes, exactly.
You're borrowing it from your children's future. And this whole idea of this fast fashion, which is basically take, make and throw, I think that's not going to, this linear model is not going to take us anywhere. We need to have more circular thing coming back.
Which is not only, like, you know, environmentally it is helping, but also socially as well. The people who are involved in making should be happy as well.
Yeah, and gets communities together, right? Because people are sharing.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Nowadays, nobody's talking to each other. There's hardly any, you know, communication. So it also helps in building that community.
Any book you would suggest? She has left us with two book recommendations by Srini and Shubhasri, which is The Everyday Eco Warrior and Imperfectly Zero Waste, which I'll be reviewing and talking about in my Books Nook series, which is on the Tinker Instagram page. So thank you for these recommendations.
So
I will read them and I'll let you all know how they are.
Thank you. It was a very insightful
conversation.
It is always insightful to talk to you and listen to you.
Thank you so much for inviting.
Yeah, great conversation.
Yeah, that was great. I'm very insightful.
Now, coming to our recommendations.
Okay.
So what is your recommendation?
So my recommendation, I think, is in line with what Kamna has been sharing. I have a book called In Praise of Slow. Okay. And this, I mean, so what has happened over last industrial revolution, post-industrial revolution, that things have been speeding up. Speeding up, and that has caused a lot of heartburn, it has caused a lot of unrest, so on so forth.
Fast track life,
everything is blurry and nobody has time for anything.
Yeah.
So Carl talks about how we could have more rhythm and slow rhythm in our life, and he talks about the all facets, whether it is food, slow food for example, I mean, fast food, as as bad as fast fashion, and so high on calories gives you a high and then leaves you with diseases in that sense. So slow food and all our cooking, for example, only was slow only. Right?
Yeah.
You put up stuff in a pot, put it on a fire, and then you would wait for it to be cooked.
Yeah, for hours.
So slow food, running also. I mean, I'm a huge fan of slow and long. So you go for long runs, Sundays, and slow and long.
Endurance
is what matters. How long you can. Also in relationship.
Yeah.
We are not looking for short relationships. We would want to cultivate those, meet people, sit with them, talk to them, and then
want long, lasting, meaningful relationships.
Yep. Yes. So that's my book recommendation.
Yes. So
what's yours?
Mine is, I think, a favorite of both of ours and a lot of more people. It is Tuition with Mori in Honor of Teachers Day today, and I think he's my favorite book teacher that I've ever come across, even though I never really met him. But I think I met him through this book, and I read it multiple times. I cry every time I read this book. I think most of us have, and this is different lessons that Mori taught the author Mitch album, and it's very insightful. I don't think I can summarize this book in any way because everyone takes away something different from it. It talks about love, it talks about relationships, about how people don't have time for each other and how important love is. I think the main one thing that I always take from this book is remember to love, to give love and take love as well.
And as early as possible, don't wait for
don't
them
wait.
To die
yes.
or close to be yeah. dying. You should
yes.
meet them
earlier. Talk about don't live with regrets, don't look back and wish you were back there because you already lived that life. So I think it's a great book. He was a teacher, he was a philosophy professor. So I think in honor of him, and I think this is a lovely book. I think I recommend it to everyone. You too, just have copies of it at home to reread always. And this is my book recommendation. It's one of my favorite books. And everyone should just have a copy of this at their home
yes.
and in their pockets. I think it's a wonderful book. So that is, I think, that brings us end. To the thing pre-love, to talk about pre-love, love, spreading love is important, community is important, people are important, we are social beings, we need to be with each other and
yeah.
let's
great insightful session. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here as well, and we'll see you next time on episode number 3. So thank you for joining.
So long. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Stay safe.